starting at the 8th verse. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair, and a lampstand, and it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said to her, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?'" And she answered, "I live among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Truly she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." The woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elijah had said to her. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return. He said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It will be well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you of these words that we have. We thank you of our mothers in our church, of the mothers that's in your word. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a written record of this mother to be. And we thank you of the faith that she had in you and what she did for the man of God and for her family. And Heavenly Father, bless these words as we bring the thoughts that you would have. And Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name we ask these things, and amen. The title of my message to you today is Mother of Faith. And my text to you is the 2 Kings 4 and 8. And I'm going to read the version that may be a little different than what David will have on the wall of this 2 Kings 4 and 8. But it's just a difference in translation, basically the same expressions and thought. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. It's interesting that we note in this translation that I read, it calls this woman a great woman. And in another translation, it calls this woman a prominent woman. But you know the main thing I want you to see in my message to you today is that this woman, this Shunammite woman, represented what was to be a great mother, a great mother of God. And its examples that she set, and not the least of which, is the faith that she had in God. She recognized that there was a man of God that was performing the duties that God had placed on him. And he come by ever so often by her home on the way to wherever he was to do God's work. And she recognized the need, and she was willing to meet the need. And she had an agreement with this man of God that every time that he passed by her house, passed by her way, that he could feel free to come to her home, and she would have a place for him to stay. And obviously he had a servant that went along with him, so obviously that was taken care of by her too. But a place for him to lay his head, she saw the need and was willing to provide it, as well as his food. Whatever he needed, she was going to provide each time he went by. What greater example can there be of a mother than one who's willing to see needs and meet that needs? And I don't believe that there's a woman that I've ever met that wasn't, and particularly the ones in our congregation, that sees needs, and particularly those of their own family, and then even like this Shunammite woman, even outside the family, be willing to meet those needs. It has become rather a thing of the day that choosing to have a family is not near as routine as it used to be. There has been, you know, in the last 10, 20 years, even anti-family sentiments in our society. And that even choosing to have a family has become an act of courage. To love family life, it seems, has become somewhat of a thing that certain elements of our society wants us to belittle or look down on. Just simply loving a normal, average family life. In many homes, as an intrusion instead of an inspiration, instead of a blessing, as it is from Almighty God. The lifestyle that prompted the words of an old hymn, "If I could hear my mother pray again," become out of fashion to think and say those kind of words. But it's just as true today as it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and ones that regard their mother in the highest esteem would think those thoughts and appreciate that hymn that says, "If I could only hear my mother pray again." And many would say, "If I could only pick up the phone and call, dial my mother's phone number, and that she would answer when I would call her." The words of Proverbs 31 are being fulfilled. And that is words that say, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And in these times, an inspiring example such as this Shunammite woman is needed for all mothers today. And her example of courage and commitment that she had to God and to God's servant, this man, the prophet that came by ever so often. The Shunammite woman that is told in my scripture reading that in 2 Kings 4 is definitely this example for mothers today. Her life reveals that she was a great woman. And I don't even like to say a great woman as much as I do a great mother. This is Mother's Day. And this woman became a mother. And she is a great example and role model for women today. Let's look at focused priorities in regard to our mothers today. Our priorities show who we are. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." In Matthew 6:21, our priorities mold our living. The priorities on which this Shunammite woman focused made her great. She had a great sense of spiritual perception. The Shunammite woman said of God's prophet, whose name was Elisha, she said in 2 Kings 4 and 9, "I perceive that this is an holy man of God." She no doubt was interested in the things of God. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We read that in Matthew 6:33. The woman's concern for spiritual life is evident by her hospitality to Elisha. She's seen that need. She was willing to not ignore it. She was willing to meet the need to help the servant of God do God's work. She also was a servant, obviously, for people. The Shunammite woman was willing to get involved in another's life. Jesus said, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant," in Matthew 20:26-27. You know, a lot of families, perhaps fathers sometimes, perhaps a community, perhaps a nation, when they see a need, they see a problem, what's the quickest way to solve the problem? Throw money at it. Is that the way God would have us to be? Just find the quickest, simplest, answer to the problem, and then most oftentimes to a lot of people, how can I get out of this the quickest and the easiest? Throw money at it. But if that God's way. Personal service always involves risk. And money can be a cold substitute for compassionate and personal involvement. This woman seemed to be satisfied with her position. And many women could take note of that. And even though they might belittle their own position, doesn't mean that their position is belittled in God's eyes. But this particular Shunammite woman was satisfied with her position. Elisha asked the Shunammite woman what he could do for her, and she gave him no particular request. She was not complacent about life, but contented. We have so many earthly possessions in our day, but are we contented? In 1 Timothy 6 and 6, the scripture reads, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment. A world in need is what we have today. A lost world without a Savior. And this lost world, and this world that don't have a Savior, will never be changed unless we reach the place in our life that we're willing to step out and try to make a change. Step out and try to see a need and then meet the need. Focus priorities was important to this Shunammite woman and should be to all mothers. And then this woman had a family partnership. The Shunammite woman's greatness is seen also in the way that she coped with her family relationships. She had a positive attitude. And for many years, this woman suffered the curse of barrenness. This was a woman who had a husband, and the scripture says that he was old and that she had no son. So no doubt, you can read between the lines and realize that this woman had to suffer a particular degree of belittlement from the other mothers around in her community. They would consider her inferior and thought even perhaps that she was guilty of some sin, that God had not blessed her with a child. It was obvious that she evidently did not become bitter or turn inward or feed on her problem. Neither did it become a barrier between her husband and herself. Their relationship at first was characterized by communication and cooperation. You may have experienced many problems in your life that were not of your own making, but it is in your power to determine how these problems will affect you. They can be either blessings or liabilities. Do you as a mother struggle with responsibility or struggle with irresponsibility? Not all was as it should have been in this home of the Shunammite woman. In latter years, when their child that Elisha prophesied she would have, even though she had literally given up the blessing of having a child, nevertheless, later years when their child became ill, the father said, carry him to her mother. And this seems to indicate an attitude on the part of the father that he considered he was doing his duty out in the field, making the living or farming or whatever it was, and that the mother should handle anything else. He obviously considered that this child was primarily a part of the mother's responsibility. Some families may have a man in the house, but he isn't much of a father. And the word says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. With only a small percentage of American homes having the husband as the sole provider, there is certainly a need for shared responsibility in every aspect of the home life and family care. When their child died, the mother prepared to meet and go see Elisha. Her husband questioned her on her statement about that. Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. That's something new for you to remember in regard to the Bible speaking of the relevance of new moons and Sabbath days. Did this particular comment by her husband reflect a shallow interest in the things of God? And you may have a spouse with little interest in spiritual concerns, and one particular one, either the husband or the wife, may have to carry the load as far as the spiritual concerns. This woman did not always have a true partnership, so she had to go the second mile. And many of our mothers are this way. They have to do above and beyond what is a fair share of family responsibilities. And perhaps this is why the Bible calls her a great woman. And lastly, this woman had a great degree of faith. And if it's anything that mothers need and that should be at the very top of the priority list, it's the degree of faith. And the most significant element of this Shunammite woman's inspiring life was this faith that allowed her to see a need and be willing to meet the need, be willing to commit. And it was a tremendous declaration of faith that she made. With her only child dead at home, she said, "It is well." That was her reply to the prophet as he seen her coming not knowing exactly what was going on or what she was wanting or requesting, she still had faith to say, as her primary blessing in life of that only son lay dead at home, her reply was, "It is well." Faith gives stability in the storm. Faith supplies the foundation on which to rebuild when things have fallen in ruins. Faith believes in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. In Romans 8 and 28. In Proverbs 31 and 30 we read, "A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." You might praise your best cherry pie recipe. You might be really proud of the poise that you have, what your beliefs are politically, or even that you have a pretty face. But the bottom line question is, will God praise you at the last day? Will you hear those words that the Word of God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Can you join the Apostle Paul and say some of these words that I read most recently at the funeral of one of my best friends? And I was asked, not only by him, but by his children, to do his funeral. And I did that. And this was one of the scriptures that I read as part of his funeral. And one of the scriptures that I really enjoy reading over and over, and is one of my favorites. The Apostle Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And let's know that there's great examples all through God's Word of wonderful mothers, wonderful deeds that they did, not only to their immediate family, but to ones outside the family, as this Shunammite woman. And I say thank God for all of our loving mothers, blessed mothers that's in our congregation today, and all of those mothers, including Nathaniel's mother, my mother, that are no longer with us today, June's mother, Carolyn's mother. So many of us don't have mothers, but I'm thankful for the ones that we had, and I thank the thankful for the lives that they lived and how meaningful and blessed that we were a result of having these mothers that God provided for us. If you would, stand with me. Let's read God's blessing to us. And let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.